Good evening, everybody. Hello. It's Wednesday, November the 8th, 2023. I think I'm too loud. I'm going to notch my microphone down a notch. It was a little loud when I was listening back. Welcome to the Fakeologist Show. Hello. Do this show Sunday through Thursday around 8 p.m., 8 to 8:30, just depending at our first blast of freezing rain, drizzle, miserable winter weather here from the North Shore of Lake Ontario and Toronto on Terrible Canada. We're going to get the show going here. Let's get FakoTube up and running. FakoTube is our own video platform and highly recommended. We're opening up the chat, the FakoTube chat, and then we will go right back to the main page at FakoTube. And just so you know, I maintain all these websites all the time. It's a full-time job that I do part-time. FakoTube is my video platform where I'll just grab my favorite videos and plaster them on here. And the short ones turn into shorts, which is pretty interesting. It's supposed to be automatic. So all these videos at the top are the shorties. And I don't really know how it works other than they should go there automatically, all the short ones. And you can play them like TikTok. That's the whole idea. That's how it works. Okay. And the other site I maintain is the Fakeologist Forums, which is pretty busy. I spend most of my time, or have spent most of my time last few years, in the Coronavirus Hoax 2020 to 2030 forum. But lately we have been in the PsyOps Hoax forum because we have this Israel Hamas Gaza 2023 event. And we've got 127 replies and almost 8,000 views. That's a pretty active forum, I would say. And you need a separate login for this, so make sure you log in. And that way you can keep track of what you've read. The other thing I do maintain every day is the Fakeologist blog. If you go to fakeologist.blog, you will see my latest posts here. And I put a lot of audio that I look into here. I know this is a very messy looking post here. Sort of like a run-on sentence. It's really hard to format from the phone. But it has all the links that I want you to look at here. And so there's that blog. If you look at this purple button on the bottom here, it is our online chat. Now, nobody is really using it because everyone was complaining it popped up on top of the screen. So I minimized it. Now nobody knows it's there. But there's a little chat there if you want to send me a message that away. And there are sub-blogs, moreab.fakeologist.com. There is Fakeologist Shorts, which is my Twitter-like sub-blog, where I put little Twitter messages, short messages, just mainly notes to myself. So if I ever got bored and wanted to read something on the blog or on the show, I would just go here. And then there's the forums, as I've said. So this is what I'm doing most of the day, just pumping stuff up onto these particular sites. And that takes up tons of my time. So there's a lot of content there, and I highly suggest you check it out. We'll just say hi to Greg, an unknown user in FakoTube. So shout out, guys. Just let me know if the video is coming through okay. And hello to Benton in the YouTube. And I sent out text alerts. So if you want to get a text alert when the show is on, just send me a message at 810-666-1984 or 902-400-1984. Or you could also sign up at FakoTube. You could do that as well. And what else? Thanks to all the recent donors, all anonymous, and of course, fakeologist.com/donate. And when you check out, just click on anonymous and you will be anonymous. That's why the donor wall shows zero from donor box, because none of the people that donated want to be on the wall. So that's why there's no wall there. I keep my own manual wall here at fakeologist.com/donate/donors. And I put them up as anonymous, as you can see here. We also take crypto, Epic Cash, and Bitcoin. But you got to let me know if you send it, because otherwise I have no idea if it gets sent and who sends it. I don't really go into my crypto wallets all that often, although nothing really has changed my opinion of crypto. It's just that I'm not really paying a hell of a lot of attention to it at the moment. Benton got the text. Good man, Benton. Good. I don't know who's who. I just have a list of phone numbers, and I will not call anybody. Now, if you want to call in tonight, the phone lines are open. I just opened them up. 810-666-1984, 902-400-1984. If you want to ask Fake Nukes Phil a question when he comes on, be my guest and call in. You can call me now if you want. Reserve a line. Just let the phone ring. Just let the phone ring and you will get through. And of course now, Fake Nuke right on time, my goodness, with German precision. How are you, Phil?
I'm well. And yourself?
I'm pretty well. Snowing, sleeting, all kinds of really freezing weather up here right now.
Good time to do a podcast.
Oh, yeah. I got the heater on in the basement studio here, blasting electric heat out on my feet. Keep me warm. So if you hear any background fan, that's what it is. I think when I start talking, the mic picks up the sound, but it's cold in here.
Yeah, I know it gets cold up there.
It does. How you're down in Palm Springs, which is in the desert, I think, in California. I've never been there. I would like to go there once. What's the weather like there?
Oh, it was 80 degrees today. Oh, so man. It's our good time of year, and I was busy. I had a lot of appointments. You know, this time of year, I get a lot of appointments, and so but I was able to take care of them all.
I think you said you're a handyman or something.
Yeah. Yeah, just all around painter. I fix stuff. I do small. I call myself a rent-a-husband. I because all my clients are single women, and so I do the jobs that the absent husband, you know, doesn't do.
Nice. No no romance involved though. Huh? I'm sure.
No, it's not good for business.
No.
And
because if you exchanged romance for work, then you wouldn't get paid either.
Yeah, you know, a couple of my clients, you know, would maybe might like that arrangement, but no, you know, the paycheck, the price tag would be too great.
Yeah, it would impact business. So you're smart enough, you don't
shoot where you cut eat. Back on my bit shoot time, and you know, I'm finding all these, you know, they wouldn't like me finding all these videos on Instagram, and they would think that I was wasting my time on, even though I don't waste my time on Instagram. It literally only takes me about 5 minutes. I mean, like 10 minutes, and I can find like 3 videos on Instagram. It's like,
so you're doing your research searching on Instagram for most of these videos?
Yeah, I just type in the keywords Israel and Gaza, just those two keywords, and every day they just give me these people, like the one on the screen, that are just, you know, not crying, and she's supposedly holding her dead daughter, and she doesn't shed a tear, And, you know, that's very odd to me. And
so you just grab this off Instagram. You just type in keywords. Yes. And away you go. Because.
Yeah. And then, of course, I put my own title to it. You know, right. It was titled something else, but it's like I title it the way I see it. And so, you
see, this is the hardest part of for most people to wrap their head around. Why are the Palestinians faking? We understand that the guys that run the country that are running the territory, we can understand them faking stuff. It's the opposing side that it's even I have a hard time just wrapping my head around it. You're the main guy that promotes this, and you're probably right, but it, man, the cognitive dissonance, even in my own head, is strong.
Yeah, and same with me, you know, I mean, I thought however, there have been chinks in the armor for going on 10 years. I mean, since, you know, remember there was that one channel that broke down all the ISIS fakery. You remember when Jihadi John was using his knife and beheading the journalists? And that, you know, and his sister was knew Adam Lanza from Sandy Hook. She played two roles. She was the classmate of Adam Lanza, and then she was also James Foley's sister. And we caught her, you know, doing two interviews for both characters.
Oh, that wasn't admitted then. So so that wasn't an admitted thing. That was just you caught it because you saw they were the same.
Well,
person.
Somebody else caught it on another channel, and they showed it, and it's like you can't deny that it's the same person. I mean, that's her.
Right.
And she has a very unique voice and face. And so it was a good catch on their channel. And that means the James Foley incident was fake. And that means, well, we know the Sandy Hook incident was fake. And and so
I like to use the word, the proper word. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's called ICE, Integrated Capstone Event.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that?
Yes. Wolfgang Halbig used to talk about the capstone event.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. What happened to him? Do you think he was the real deal?
You know, I think he was, and then I think they just bullied him so much because he just got so old. He didn't have the fight left in him, and he just kind of dropped out. He wanted to retire in peace, I think.
Do you think he really was who he said he was, a school superintendent or whatever he was, something to do with the school system?
Well, I want to believe it because, you know, he was a likable character to me. And I something about him and Noah Posner struck a chord with me because they kind of encapsulated the entire what happened in Germany last century. But Wolfgang Halbig represented the Germans. And you had your Lenny Posner that represented the Jews that were infiltrating and controlling everything and smearing them the same way that they would smear the Germans last century. And Lenny Posner would always threaten to sue Wolfgang. And he would take Wolfgang's website off the internet, and he would win in court and decline, you know, defy somebody's freedom of speech, and Wolfgang Halbig was not allowed to have freedom of speech. And so, but that's the power that
the Posner guy was super aggressive on the internet.
Yes.
Super aggressive.
Yeah. And he had the courts on his side. You see, that's the thing. And then that's also what happened last century in Germany, is that the courts were on their side. And that's why the Germans had to have, they had to kick him out of all positions of power. And that's basically a civil war in Germany. You're taking your top media people, your top, you know, judicial people, and you're putting them in Auschwitz, basically. You're telling them to leave the country, and if they don't leave the country, well, then they're going to Auschwitz. And you see, that's a civil war, and so, and we saw that with the Lenny Posner and Wolfgang Halbig, that same dialectic, So I want to think that Wolfgang was genuine and real, and he was representing that. But, you know, but all my heroes have just let me down. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Every single one. You know, I used to think of Sidethorn, you know, on 153 News, you know, because he did he went to Sutherland Springs and he really outed some crisis actors there. I really thought, you know, Sidethorn was my hero. I said, man, because he would call their bluff and say, I got $100,000 if you can prove that your family member even existed. And I thought that was just so great. But, you know, but then I got like a free membership to an identity website, you know, one of those that you pay a dollar and you can do a free trial for a week or something. And I tested it out, you know, with myself and my friends and, you know, my family. And the thing was pretty accurate. I mean, it knew everybody and everybody's background, where they lived and everything. But then I typed in Michael Ussery's name, you know, and I knew his name. I knew his age and I knew his middle name because I had the court documents. So I had, you know, I mean, I had like all of the information on him and it came up zero.
So how do you think they fudged that? Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, then I typed in Jody Mann and, you know, the conspiracy granny.
Yeah.
And I had her full name and her age. And it was on the court documents and it came up zero matches. I thought this was really weird.
So what? How do you explain that? How do you think those are fake court documents then?
Yeah. So it's like, man, I think, yeah, the whole thing was staged. I don't think Robert Ussery spent a single day in... Jason Boss said that he spent 5 years in solitary confinement. Now that's pretty extreme.
Cruel and unusual punishment, I think.
Yeah, spending 5 years in solitary confinement is pretty extreme for what they had him for, a weapons charge or something. But yeah, I think they went a little bit over the edge. And so anyway, Sidethorn came on my channel and threw a temper tantrum and said, how dare I ask him any questions? And said that he said that I was an idiot and I didn't know how to use the internet. And and that's it.
Why wouldn't he just talk to you?
Yeah. And then he just screwed. Yeah. And then he was like, well, I mean, you don't have to run away. You can sit here and talk to me. And
yeah, I think you're a pretty reasonable guy. Why not just talk and he could just show you where you're wrong and then let everyone else decide who's telling the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
That wouldn't be that hard.
He said he downloaded a identity website and his name came up immediately. And I said, well, it must have been a different website than the one I used. And then he kept pressing me for the one that I used. And it's like, well, I couldn't really remember because, you know, there's like so many.
Yeah.
You type in identity website, you're going to get like a different three on every time you search for it. And right. I just knew it was one that gave me a trial for like a dollar for a week. And that's it.
Miles Mathis uses the same one, I think, all the time, doesn't he?
Does he? Well, yeah, it's an
important tool. Yeah.
It's an important tool. Yeah, you know, it's probably worth a dollar a month to have it. I mean, just on my computer.
I wonder how they build the database. Is it from credit files or something? Because it's not an official there's no official government identity website. I mean, that's what they're going for in the future, but not now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I even typed in my father's name and my father's never been in any trouble. And it knew exactly where he lived, like his phone number. It's like,
that would be a credit database then. Because the credit agencies have databases. Of course they have to.
Yeah.
For credit checks. Those are private companies though.
I was in it was called a court search is what it was called. So, you know, I typed in people that I knew that had histories and it came up accurate.
Right.
And, you know, and if anybody wants to recreate it, you know, maybe somebody can prove me wrong and say, Hey, Phil, I typed it in and Robert's right. It came right up. You know, somebody can do that.
Well, the bottom line is you're finding that the 153news.net, which I have been on many times, there are a couple really good people on there that are content creators, but you're saying the founder of that is puzzled, just like I sort of was, about why would these Palestinians be faking it?
Yeah. Yeah. And I found that interesting. And yeah. And Jason is interesting stuff. He says, in the beginning of that video, he says, we all know it's real. We all know that Gaza is being bombed, you know, to shit right now. And it's like, well, really? Do we really know that? I mean, just what we see on TV doesn't prove anything. And
no.
I mean, I watched the movie War of the Worlds. And so does that prove that we're being invaded by Martians right now? I mean, you know, just because you saw it on the screen doesn't prove anything.
No, we know nothing. And I was just talking to IPS. I don't know if you've I told him about you. I don't know if he's going to reach out to you to have you on. But we were talking about SAM, surgical anatomical mannequins. They even the surgeons can practice on these dolls, and they even bleed and they even breathe. That's how good they are. They breathe.
Oh, they breathe. Yeah.
Yeah. They have really, really great simulations now for medical training.
So yeah, these mannequins that I see over there in Gaza, they have the inside of the mouth that looks real. They have the eyelids and the eyeball that looks real. You can pull back the eyelid and you can see the eyeball.
Wow.
And in fact, in some of the videos, you know, the grieving father is over his dead son, and he's pretending to grieve, but he's not crying any tears. And what he's doing is he's taking his fingers and he's rubbing, moving the mouth on the boy. And it's like for no other reason other than to show the audience that, hey, see, this is a real boy. Yeah. And then he would take his hand and he would go up to the eye and he would lift up the eyelid. And he's pretending to be just out of control, just with grief. But what he's really doing is he's just showing the viewer, see, this is a real dead boy. Well, it's like, well, they're just making the mannequins look really real. And I know it's very... I know I'm into uncharted territory. You know,
hey, they're fine tuning it because they're watching you. You're giving valuable feedback. Don't kid yourself.
Yeah. So well.
What you think?
It's just the preponderance of the evidence. I mean, there's just no way these bodies can be real. I mean, because the people are not acting in a natural way. I also uploaded the video of that girl who cried over her dead bird. And in that video, I mean, you can tell, that one there. I mean, look, you can tell there's a tear going, and her nose is red. You know, if you enlarge it, you'll see that her nose is red, and there's a tear coming down to her chin. And see, that's like a real 8-year-old girl or a 7-year-old girl crying over her bird. And, you know, her nose is actually red, and, you know, and you can see the streak of the tear going down to her chin. And this is certainly more real than I've seen.
No, I think that's a fake bird.
I know. The screenshot.
I'm just kidding. Who the hell knows?
I know. So either way,
it does look kind of stiff.
I can see right there. You can tell that her nose is red right there.
Yeah. Okay.
And so it's and I know it's a judgment call, but like on my screenshot, she looks.
Oh right, you zoomed in. Let me see that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know you can see the tear going down to her chin, and you can see the red nose.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean,
you know, so I know it's
it doesn't really matter in the
it's
we get again, the point. We know what we're talking about here.
Again, I can't prove nothing, but then again, they can't prove nothing either. You know, all of us can't prove nothing. You know, none of us are in Gaza.
They're making the extraordinary claim. They're the ones making the claim. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that have to prove it. You can't prove a negative. You can't disprove it. But yeah. We are just looking at their evidence, and we're not buying it. That's all you can say, because they're the ones in control. We're just doubting it. We're being the skeptics, and being a skeptic, as IPS pointed out on his podcast that I put a clip on, that's the healthiest attitude to take. We're not being affected. We're not picking a side. We're not doing what we're told. Mm-hmm. We're taking the third way. And that is, we're skeptical until more evidence comes forward. And until such time, we're not buying it. And It's a lot healthier way to live. I actually got an email from somebody who I would like to read it out. And you can send me an email at ima@fakeologist.com. If you don't mind, I want to just play a couple. I got a voicemail today. And anyone can go to my blog, fakeologist.com or fakeologist.blog, and go to SpeakPipe and leave a message. Here's one from John.
Oh, speak now.
Yeah,
hey, speak I like now. Your show, Fakeologist. It's really cool. It's really entertaining. And it really provokes your thoughts. And thank you for having it on, my friend. I wish I could send you some money, but
it's all right.
I'm a beggar. Thank you, though. It opens up your mind. I really appreciate what you're doing.
Well, thank you, Bye. John. He's a beggar. We have beggars listening. I love it.
Yeah, well, they must have the free Obama phone or something, and they're able to get onto BitChute.
Yeah, really. There was one more. There's one more person who left a really nice message. I don't know where it is right now. Anyway, I'll find it. The other thing I was going to mention is that they're saying that a lot of this atrocity propaganda is on Telegram. Are you on Telegram?
I have an account on Telegram, but I don't follow it. It's hard to follow. I don't have an account on Instagram either. I just go and steal their videos.
Right.
And the same on TikTok. I kind of go and steal their videos. And I mean, I'm not there. I'm not interested in making friends there. I'm just stealing their videos.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah. Because, you know, supposedly these are the on the ground videos coming directly from Gaza, right? You know, from the salt of the earth people that are boots on the ground there in Gaza.
Well, the only reason I bring up Telegram is they're putting stuff on there, and the end goal, I think, is they want to shut Telegram down or regulate it or whatnot as well. You don't hear the same chatter about Telegram or about Instagram and TikTok. So there's always that they have these operations where they're the ones that are creating all this atrocity propaganda in the name of Hamas, in the name of Hezbollah or whoever they don't like, and putting the worst stuff on there. And then eventually they want to shut it down or make a case that, oh, you need ID to upload this kind of stuff. But that's sort of a side note. But I just wondered if you dipped into there, because that's where the really awful stuff is supposed to be.
Well, I'll try it. I've got the app here on my phone. I'll do some exploring on Telegram. And
the IDF has their own Telegram channel as well.
Do they?
Yeah, I think even Hamas does too, which of course is run by the same intelligence services. So that's where they're dumping a lot of the bad stuff. I personally have no stomach for any of this. So, you know, my hat's off to you for doing the research. And I sure as hell have no interest in watching all this sorting out. There's enough evidence to me that it's just all a simulation. Yeah. I don't know how much.
Yeah, for me too. But I think at this point, because I mean, it was just like the Ukraine war. I mean, I knew within the first 3 weeks that there was enough information for me to tell that it was a simulation. And I laid off that topic because, you know, who cares if the Ukraine and Russia are pretending to have a war against each other? But this Palestinian God or this Israeli thing strikes more to the heart of Western civilization, considering that Western civilization has based so much of its history upon the Bible and upon and we're split because most of us in America are Zionist and we don't know it.
Yeah.
And my brother doesn't realize that he's a Zionist. He's in Washington, D.C. right now because he watches Fox News all the time. And so he's like really into politics.
Yeah.
And but he doesn't realize all of his information he gets from Zionists. He doesn't.
Right. Well, the biggest group is the Christian Zionists.
Yeah.
The ones that believe the Scofield Bible. I don't really care about the history either, but because this is, like I said last week, the number one story, it's sort of important for you or anyone to do their research and try and figure out what the hell, what are they trying to do? What is this? You know, they're trying to bring the Jews back into Israel. What do they have to convert them to Christianity? And then the second coming of Christ. And this is just a real crazy story that they're trying to recreate, all of them.
Yeah. I think what we're witnessing is Adolf Hitler's war profiteer speech in action, in operation. It was one of his most favorite, famous speeches. He spoke of the war profiteers who churn up the profits on both sides, and they create these wars and they make money on both sides. And, and that's who the Germans were fighting against. The Germans were fighting against the capitalists and the communists. And these are the war profiteers. But here's the thing. They've taken it to the next stage is now they're war profiteering, but it's not even a real war. It's a fake war, so it's 100% profit. So you're not even suffering any collateral damage, but you're still getting the profits on both sides, just like as if it was a real war. And so they've really got the golden calf now. I mean, they're really we're seeing it in full fruition, and that's what I think we're seeing here.
And, what about so after World War II? So you think World War II was a real war? All the way through on all fronts? Was that the last real one?
I think the Germans were targeted for extermination by the English because the Germans were outpacing the English and just doing better than them in manufacturing and everything else. And so the English targeted them in World War One to put them down and to hold them down. And then it didn't work. They didn't finish the job. So they had to go back in World War II and finish the job. Yeah. It's much like what happened in Iraq when the Americans had to go in twice because we didn't finish the job the first time. And see it. But Iraq was a little different. I do believe real people died. But I do believe that Saddam Hussein was an agent and he was working with us he was trapping the people inside Iraq who had national feelings. And they were passing out free AK-47s to people in Iraq who wanted to go fight the great Satan, you know, and they had a good reason because the United States was invading their country. And so that would promote a lot of nationalism within Iraq. And so, but you see, the nationalists are the people they've always targeted because the world is run by communists and communists hate nationalists. And so what they do is they gather all the nationalists together. They put them like on that highway of death there in Iraq. And they just set them there like sitting ducks. And we just all just like a turkey shoot and just killed them all. And I think in a lot of that's what Vietnam was about is.
But, you know, they're communists for everyone, but they're capitalists for themselves. The elite are capitalists. For instance, my idea is you can't have your own country where you use the country's resources for the people. Mm-hmm. So the globalists, the communists, they want to keep all your resources in a world market. So for instance, Canada has oil, even though it's hard to get out of the ground. And they say, well, that belongs to the globalists. So we can't have cheap gas, even though we have oil in Canada, because if we want to sell our gas to the world or oil to the world market, then it can't be subsidized. It can't be used by the people that live here. And that's sort of my biggest beef. I mean, that would be the main reason why you're a nationalist, wouldn't you say? So you can exploit your country's resources for yourself.
I guess so. I mean, for most of my life, I was a nationalist. For most of my life, I was rah-rah, you know, USA. And I don't really know why I was a nationalist. I mean, I guess just because I was propaganda. Born here.
Oh, propaganda, too. You were told you were in the best country of the world.
It's like I was born here and I'm supposed to be, you know, rah, rah for America. And, but then and I think most people are born to be, have nationalist tendencies towards their, whatever country they're born in. But these communists are training us. There's a group of people that aren't bound to borders. They aren't bound to any soil. And they're the type of people that'll just cross borders and colonize another country. And that's what these people that rule over us, they're really good at rounding up these people, and they bring them over into our country, and they set up little colonies. Like Dearborn, Michigan is like the biggest Palestinian colony in America. Then they have all these Vietnamese colonies. Like there's one in New Orleans, there's one in Southern California here. Just millions of Vietnamese people in their own like state, and they have their own colony and their own laws. And there's Chinatown, of course, in San Francisco and L.A. And I think China owns California, but
birds of a feather flock together. That's obvious, is it not? I mean, if you come from another country to a country where you don't speak the language, you're not going to go hang out with people that you can't communicate with. So it's sort of a natural thing. We have seven Chinatowns in Toronto. Wow. We have San Francisco probably does too. We have three Little Indias. Just people naturally just hang around together based on the fact that they want to be with their own people. I mean, that's a natural thing, I would say.
Yeah, but it's not happening in reverse. In other words, there's not, for instance, a Irish colony in Indonesia. You go down to Indonesia and you get a big, huge colony where Irish people and they all speak English and they all have their own laws and they all, you know, colonized an island in Indonesia. But some people say that there have been this whole, like, for instance, South Africa, they're saying, well, the Dutch went and they colonized South Africa. But you see, that's a little different. I mean, South Africa was an abandoned place. When the Dutch first got there, there was nothing there. There was nothing to steal from anyone because nobody was there. You know, it's clear what happened is the Dutch industrialized it. They built the ports. They built the highways. They built the infrastructure. They built the electrical grids. And then after it was all industrialized, they said, okay, your services are no longer required. And then they brought in the ANC
I don't know a lot of the history, but I am fascinated by it. And I have had a guy from South Africa who escaped to Canada, a white guy, interesting guy to talk to. It's really hard. We don't usually let white people from South Africa into Canada. I can't remember how he got here. But his son couldn't get into Canada, and he left and went back to actually Rhodesia, the neighboring country, which is called Zimbabwe now. But I do believe he was trying to explain some of the politics and what happened with the Dutch and the Boers. And basically, they were just happily having their own country down there. And they had their own banking system, and the globalists they just don't like that. You cannot have your own banking system, especially if you have resources. So they purposely, I believe, went in to destabilize and blow up the Boer nation, basically. Mm-hmm. And they would be nationalists for sure for their own people and their own sub-country within South Africa. And that was the end of that, as we saw. And they just blew it apart. And now it's in chaos still, I would say.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a long time to... really make a very sort of new world order country based on the principles that they want to put everywhere. And we could go on to that. I mean, that's what they want to do in the world with SDGs and blockchain and just making everybody poor. That's a million and one shows to try and figure out. I can't quite figure it out, but
yeah. Yeah, well, I think it's a common theme throughout all the world is they're using European people to industrialize abandoned continents, and then once the job is finished, once the continent has been industrialized, well then our services are no longer required, and it's time for you to step down, and so it's really unfair. And
well, now China's doing it. I just think the whole European original OGs of North America and the original colonizers, their populations are just collapsing. They're in free fall. Europe is in free fall. Canada's in free fall. Japan's in free fall. I mean, China, they just I don't really know what the population of China is because I don't believe anything that they tell us. But now only suddenly now the regular people can have more than one child over there. So,
you know, yeah,
China's colonizing the world as far as I know. And yeah. I've harped on this before. I went on TikTok because every now and then I get on a TikTok and there's an infrastructure channel. I think I brought this up last week. It still blows me away what they're building over there with our engineering and a lot of our good people to tell them what to do. But the bridges they're building, we can't even widen highways or fix potholes where I live. And they're building 1 mile long, 2 mile long bridges that float in the sky between canyons. It blows your mind.
Yeah. So,
yeah, as for the Europeans and North Americans, our populations are in free fall, I would say.
Yeah.
Our people are not reproducing, and I've been blowing on this for years. Yeah,
and that's from the negative propaganda, because we've been saturated with negative propaganda from World War II and the Adolf Hitler and also events like Oklahoma City bombing, and which was a hugely anti-white propaganda, and school shootings. They usually portray the school shooter as like a white guy, or the synagogue shootings, like the Robert Bowers in Pittsburgh, and he's the.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you there. I think Oklahoma was the main official enemy of that psyop was militias, because every state is allowed to have a militia. I mean, the whole point of a militia is to rise up against tyranny. I mean, that's the whole idea, as far as I know. Behind, we don't have it in Canada because we're British slaves up here, but down there that was the whole purpose of the militia. So they twisted it to make it seem like an evil thing. It's actually an honorable thing to defend against tyranny. But don't you think that, I mean, you say it's anti-white, I think it was mainly anti-militia. I think that was the theme. I mean, all these psyops have themes. That's the whole point.
Well, I was dating at the time, and Timothy McVeigh was portrayed as this the new Adolf Hitler. And see, and girls are always they're promoted to not give birth to another Adolf Hitler. And then Timothy and Derek Chauvin is the new one, where he is hugely anti-white propaganda, where he had his knee on George Floyd's neck, and nobody wants to give birth to another Derek Chauvin. And it's the same thing, and so it causes girls to mix it up and go be with a Ricky Ricardo. I think that's what the I Love Lucy. Yeah, the Ricky Ricardo. Yeah. The I Love Lucy was all pre-Cuban invasion. They had that show on to train the white girls. Oh, it's cool and sexy to have a Latino boyfriend, and right. And then they did the fake missile crisis down there in Cuba. And then they brought in all those, the invasion of all those Cubans. And it was totally designed to mix up the races. Totally.
Yeah, I guess, That was in the 50s, though, right? That was.
Oh, yeah. So this has been going on for a long time, yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, I could.
So you put it all together, and then it starts to make sense. It's like, well, that's why the birth rates are plummeting. It's because we've had negative propaganda for decades. And it's just taking its toll. Meanwhile, they're having positive propaganda. For instance, the Mexicans that are coming up, they're celebrating their culture, and they're having a happy time of breeding, and they're having 4 or 5 children per family just as a rule.
Is that still happening in California, even with the prices?
Of large families, at least 4. Yeah,
That's
or
pretty,
even six.
That's pretty.
You know, I know for somebody with 6. Yeah.
Wow. Don't you think that has more to do with their Catholic faith? Because back in the day, birth control was forbidden in the Catholic Church. Right now, the Catholic Church is upside down with that crazy Jesuit Pope. But what is it still happening though with Catholics?
I know isn't Catholic. No, they're just doing it because they can. Because she told me it's because they wanted to try for a boy, and so she kept having girls, and because it was the machismo thing, and so she had to keep having babies until she had 2 boys, and by that time she had 6. Nice. And so it had nothing to do with being a Catholic. Yeah,
that's a hockey team. Okay.
Well, no, yeah,
I'm not against big families personally. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, and it's supported within their culture. And then, you know, because you start having that many kids and it's frowned upon in our culture, but in their culture, it's celebrated. And so, you know, it's just a negative propaganda to positive propaganda. And it absolutely has a effect on birth rates. And see, and we learned this also from Adolf Hitler when he was in Germany. He was promoting a baby boom in Germany. I mean, they were having about 4 kids per family. It was a baby boom, and that's why they had the Hitler Youth, and you had all these babies. And see, the bankers couldn't have that. They couldn't have a baby boom in Germany. Now they'll have a baby boom from Mexico. I mean, that's fine because that's the people they want to reproduce, but they can't have the Germans having a baby boom. And so that's why they had to go in there and stop that from happening. And that was called, in Germany, that was called positive propaganda. And that was to encourage birth rates. Uh-huh. And
I think they're doing it in Russia too now, from what I understand, in the last couple of years. I think Putin was paying people to have children as well. Did you ever hear that?
Yeah, I haven't heard that. Yeah, Germany, they were giving out like if you had 4 kids, then you would get a free house. That's how the Germans would do it. And so people were having a lot of kids and working to get that free house. And
Vladimir Putin offers money to women to have 10 kids. Wow.
Wow.
I don't know if this is a real story or not. I don't know what OutlookIndia.com is. It was an award first introduced by Soviet leader Joseph Stalin. Wow. Ooh, so this goes way back. That can't be right. 10 children. I know he was definitely doing it to have women have a few children, but you know, I think women around the world, just because of this magic black box everyone walks around with, they all get the same propaganda, even if you're in Russia. You know, I watch a couple big YouTube stars that are somewhere around Sochi, Russia, and they only have 1 kid, and they look and act just like Americans over there. So I really think this propaganda is worldwide. And the other thing, of course, I mean, we're way off topic, but it is kind of fun to talk about. The thing that really killed the birth rate around the world is the pill. That was one of the biggest turning points for fertility all around the world.
And people who wanted to be on the pill would be on the pill. But again, it's whether or not your culture celebrates having a lot of kids and whether your culture doesn't celebrate it. And so, you know, the government actually can promote strong birth rates, or they can also promote weak birth rates just from the propaganda they produce in the media. And yeah, and everybody's carrying their cell phone around. But for instance, after Derek Chauvin happened, all the people were reading on their cell phones how racist white people are, and it's just a problem with white people, and white people just tend to just put their knees on people's necks and just cut off their breathing. That's just something that white people do. And I saw it absolutely. It's just, I saw it after the Las Vegas shooting. I mean, I was dating some girl who was going to college, and she was getting her master's degree, and she was doing the psychological component of her degree. And she told me to stop talking. She says, stop talking. I'm the expert here. And I'm going to tell you that white people just shoot people. That's just something that white people do. And wow. It's like, really, you're going to get a master's degree, and this is what they're teaching you in college. So yeah. Yes,
it is depressing.
Yeah. I wasn't 2 weeks. That relationship only lasted another 2 weeks. I was gone out of there. Yeah.
The birth rate in Russia has been falling as well. And I do remember, because of the sort of bleak outlook of communism, I think Russians had some of the highest abortion rates in the world. So things, you know, when things are not looking up, that's when most people clamp down and just say, no, we're not bringing more children into the world. So I think it is mostly to do with the outlook of the country, the economy. I think those are big factors. And now that women can control their own fertility, they do it, and they'll just let the guy know if they're interested. Otherwise, they're closed for business. So I think it's a worldwide thing.
And so when things are looking up, then you start having like that's why I'm talking about the happy time, like the Mexicans are having their happy time, and they're out. I see it on TV. They're out there doing their Hispanic culture celebration out there in the Spanish part of town, and they're all dressing in their costumes, and they're all celebrating
You're starting to sound like the Grinch and the Who's in Whoville. Come on, Phil.
Yeah. And they're all pushing their baby strollers around, and they got one kid in their arm, and they're pushing a baby stroller around. You know, they're having in their happy time, and things are looking up for them, and so that's why they're having so many babies.
But why are they so optimistic? They live in the same state. What's the difference?
They're subject to a different propaganda than what white people are subject to, and it's in the media, and I can see it. I can see.
You're saying Mexican? They watch different stuff on the TV.
For instance, my friend has an awning business, and his chief shop person, the guy that he's
been with, chief honor.
The guy that runs the shop, he's been with them for 30 years. He said, you know, it's just it's common knowledge down in Mexico. When girls are like 10 years old or 11, they learn that if they go up to America, all they got to do is have a baby and they can just stay. And when you're way down deep in Mexico, there's not much, you know, to look forward to. You're either going to join a brothel or you're going to, you know, work the fields. And, you know, there's not much hope. And so a lot of girls down there in Mexico just do it. They go up there to have the baby. And
it's a ticket out of there. I thought most of the people that were crashing the southern border were from south of Mexico. They were just passing through Mexico. Guatemalans, Ecuadorians, Venezuelans, Colombians. I don't think Panamanians are coming up. I think but just the poor areas of Latin America.
Yeah. And what I see, from what I see, the colonies that are around me here in the Palm Springs area, it's mostly Mexico. Mostly because they all wave their Mexican flags. They have them on the back of their pickup trucks. They just drive around. It's like they're little, because they conquered the state, and so they just drive around their pickup trucks with the Mexican flag on the back.
California was part of Mexico, wasn't it, before the Spanish-American War?
California was basically abandoned. There wasn't anybody here, especially in the Palm Springs area. There was no water. I mean, it wasn't until they built the canal and they learned how to build wells that this place had any water. And they didn't do all that. You know, that was when the white people came in and brought in the Colorado River. And most of our water is well water. And you have to drill the well pretty deep. But we get
it is the off. Desert after all. Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I think I thank your area for my almond milk and my raspberries, although I noticed most of the raspberries are planted in Mexico, but they just come up through Watsonville there in California. So yeah, we get lots of fruit from Southern California. I don't know what the answer is, Phil, honestly. The propaganda is so strong, you're not going to turn around the Western world as much as you wish it, because it really is just ingrained in women now, and even men as well. They're just not into it anymore. They're just not doing what comes naturally. So,
yeah. Well, I was able to keep, you know, I kept my daughter away from that propaganda, and right now she's got a nice white boyfriend, and they're getting serious.
Have some white babies soon, eh?
I'm encouraging them. I said, oh, you two are the most adorable couple, or you're the most handsome couple. Or send me pictures. They send me pictures of their dogs. See, right now they've got dogs together, but you know, keep going, because he's ex-military. He's a former ranger in the army, And so he's got a lot of army buddies. And so all of his army buddies are getting married right now. And so the, she's, I said, well, you keep going to these weddings. And so it's like, you know,
as long as they don't push the dog around in the stroller, that's when you know it's not going to happen. what did she think of her dad looking at all these fake war things? Is she into that?
Yeah, she'll let me talk for about 5 minutes about it, but I know my limit. She, during the Las Vegas thing, she told me that she had a friend whose parents were at the concert that night. And okay. She said, Dad, my friend's mother called her during the event and said, I'll just make up a name. Nancy, somebody's shooting at us. Can you hear? And she held the phone up so that she could hear the gunshots. And it's like, I told my daughter, I said, if you're watching people's heads get blown off around you, are you going to pause for a moment so that you can call your daughter so that your daughter can hear the gunshots over the phone? It's like, that wouldn't happen. And that means that your friend's mother was in on it. And that means she wasn't suffering any trauma. She was trying to spread the rumor by doing the gunshots over the telephone. That means that her daughter would spread it through her Facebook page and it would spread like a wildfire. I saw the same thing at the MSU shooting that happened, 7 months ago. And, yeah. You know, remember with 3 students got shot.
Yeah.
And Good Morning America had one of the surviving students on the show, and she had her mother sitting next to her, and she goes, Mom, when I called you, what did you hear? And then the mother says, I heard gunshots over the phone. And then the daughter goes, see, my mom heard it too. My mom heard it too. And so it's like, this is a common thing they do during the.
Well, if it's a drill, if it's a drill, then there are real things happening. I mean, that's part of the simulation. Not everyone has a clue what's going on. You have to.
Yes.
I mean, that's the main.
How they spread the rumor.
Yeah, exactly. So there are people there. There was whoever the singer was. I don't really remember the story much, but. And there were probably sound effects. I mean, it's like a real live haunted house. There is stuff going on and there are people simulating it. So it is going to be extremely difficult for a lot of people to figure out what's going on. It's totally compartmentalized as well. Don't you think? It's a military operation. I mean, they're taking a simulation, a drill, and they're making it go live. That's the thing. All of a sudden, a real shooter shows up to a drill. That's exactly the way. I mean, this is how they sow the confusion. They just intertwine these two concepts. It works every single time because everyone's there. So it's hard to blame anyone that's an eyewitness because they are they're basically fooled. They're at a magic show.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. The husband ended up dead 2 years later. My daughter came and said that her friends, because both the parents were at the concert that night. And
okay.
So what happened is that they were dealing with shady characters, and he probably started to ask for a raise, you know. And then they said, "Well, here's your raise." And then they found him dead in his warehouse, and they called it a suicide. And I told my daughter, I said, "Your friend's parents were dealing with shady people. I mean." They were at a mass shooting at a concert, and then 2 years later, he's dead. I mean, these are not normal things that happen to normal people. Yeah, and, you know, and so it's slowly creeping in to my daughter's brain, but it's too much for her. I mean, you know, I don't want her to concern herself with this. I want her to just concern herself with starting a family right now. I don't want to scare away the new boyfriend either.
Crazy father-in-law to deal with Phil and his fake news. Yeah, Phil and all his video analysis showing all the fakery.
Yeah,
it is kind of disturbing. It's actually disturbing what they're doing with all the children and creating these simulated videos. I find it disturbing that they would do this. To be honest with you.
Yes, I'm thinking we're looking at child abuse central here in Gaza. Yeah. I mean, I've never seen a place that is just a hive bed of child abuse. And I'm thinking this is where the pedophilia happens because everybody thinks they know who the pedophiles are. you know, because they listen to Alex Jones and Alex Jones tells you who the pedophiles are, or you listen to some other Fox News character and they're telling you who the pedophiles are in the Biden family. It's like, none of us know who the pedophiles are. And it's not the people they're telling you who it is.
I know.
And so this Gaza thing is intriguing to me because it's like, this is where they really are. This is where they really are. And it's a place we wouldn't expect to look. We think these people are the victims, but it's like, no, they're not the victims. And, you know,
where did we leave off? Let's play a few of your favorites.
I'll do the rubber, that one right there, the rubber, this one,
Land of Rubber Babies.
Yes. This is just a slam dunk. This is a rubber baby. You know, this is, I mean, what the hell is that? I mean, come on.
Oh, this guy again, this guy's been in a lot of videos.
Yeah. Yeah.
This guy's a regular.
He's a regular.
I'm going to put this in. I put a lot of your videos in my thread here on the Fakeologist forums.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put a bunch of them here.
Oh, and yeah. Thanks. Yeah. They're this short little 15-second ones, but it's like
they're vignette. They're atrocity vignettes, whatever the French
Okay,
word is.
Yeah.
These little wonderful moments in Gaza of faith.
Yeah, you know, like that mother there, you know, she was smiling when she was holding that baby. You know, I see that I screenshot it right there, and she's tapping the baby. You know, it's like that's one of those taps.
Is he missing the legs?
No. Yeah, that's supposed to be the legs of the baby. Yeah.
Okay, I thought the legs were gone, but yeah, maybe there's some stuff there.
Yeah, there's some rubber legs there, but she's tapping on the baby's arm as if to say, okay, bye bye now. You know, it's like a half goodbye. You know.
What else? What is this thing? Is this a big dummy here?
Yeah, I don't think that's a real corpse. And I just don't think they would.
Oh, it's not. It's the wrong dimension. It's like a Superman.
I just saw that and I said, no, this is not real. Well, the head should be tilting more, and the arm should be flexing.
The hell are they doing with the guy with the dummy?
I don't know. They're trying to. I guess they're trying to lower him down, but you know.
I like the music. Yeah. That's somebody put that track on the video, obviously.
Yeah, you know, so they're adding this music to these
good production.
Yeah, they're adding this music to these clips, and it's creating it's almost like a comedy show for me. And I'm just you know, and people say, Phil, you're sick for laughing at this. It's like, well, you know, I think I know what I'm looking at, and I think I can laugh at this stuff. And I'm pretty, you know, because I've got a whole bunch of them on here, and the preponderance of, I mean, this baby doesn't look real.
No.
And even if it was real, why would you be doing this?
You're parading your child around. I wonder what he's saying.
And he's not crying. He's not crying. Is that supposed to be the father? I mean, I would be bawling my eyes out. I mean, come on, I've got a daughter. I would be, and I wouldn't be holding my daughter up in the air. Everybody, look at my dead daughter. I mean, are you kidding me? That sounds
like a war chant. You know, he's.
Yeah, but it's.
Calling for intifada or whatever. Yeah, it's.
Well, yeah, but you'd be bawling your eyes out. At that press conference, they were holding that fake baby, and it's just. It's just not believable. It's you wouldn't hold a dead baby like that.
What's this one? I didn't watch this.
This is like a 17-minute one. I showed these. Go up to the 15-minute mark, or maybe yeah.
There's that share.
And I'm showing some pictures. See, there's some pictures of propaganda that I've got off Instagram. And see, that's an AI generated image.
Oh right, yeah. I think we did see this one. Yeah, I watched this one of yours. Yeah.
You see, it's like an industry in Palestine. They're creating these AI-generated images, and it's not real. It's an industry.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking at.
So what's your take this week on why are the Palestinians, or the simulated Palestinians, if they are not Palestinians, what are they trying to do to the Palestinian population? Are what do you figure the end game is? There's been a couple good videos recently about how valuable that area is. There's apparently maybe some natural resources off the coast. There is the Ben Gurion Canal that they want to put through the area. There's so many things that looks like they want to do with that area.
Well, I think they're sending them to other countries like Dearborn, Michigan, and they're setting up Palestinian colonies in Europe.
Yeah.
And they're just making a whole bunch of money is what I think they're doing. It's a big industry, and it's getting a lot of airtime on the national news. And so that increases advertising. It creates money the same as a Hollywood movie creates money. And
so you think the Palestinians are going to, they must be being promised riches to move out.
I'm seeing a lot of Palestinians involved in these events. They've got a lot of crisis actors that look like Palestinians. And I'm wondering, where are the ordinary Palestinians? Where are they to come out and say that they're being played, that this is not real?
What's the, you remember Abbas? He was supposed to be the leader at one point of the Palestinians. I remember he was big for a few years. Is he, because I'm not following the story as much as you are. Is he saying anything? Do you know?
I remember Arafat, way back.
He's gone though.
Wouldn't he, the 70s or the 80s?
Yeah.
But I think gone. I remember Abbas, but I think all of them have been playing with the Israel. I think all of them have been bought and paid for from the beginning. I think what we've been seeing in Israel and that whole region has been just a Hollywood studio.
Yeah.
And they've just been making money the entire time Israel got there. And people have been, they've been giving us misdirection about how Israel wants to expand their borders, or Israel wants to conquer Lebanon and wants to conquer Egypt and Jordan.
Yeah.
And that member Wesley Clark was saying that after 9/11, and the plan was for greater Israel to conquer seven countries. Wesley Clark was in on the hoax. And so Wesley Clark was sent out to get us chasing that rabbit hole. It's like, oh, the Israelis are trying to expand their borders. That wasn't it at all. It was just the Israelis were just doing their usual stunts and just making money. And
yeah, that was the Wes Clark 7. They play that all the time on the No Agenda show for the last 10 years. Yeah.
And it never came to pass, did it? And we've been seeing it so much, and it never came to pass. It was just a rabbit hole. And Wesley Clark is a Jew. He's in on it. Wesley Clark was totally in on the whole 9/11 scam. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't just Greater Israel, though. There was a couple African countries in there, like Sudan. And so it was more than that. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure how to take that. I think the main places he wanted to target were just the countries without central banks.
Yeah, well, and then
that's how I read it back in the day.
They said that Iran didn't have a central bank, but I'm thinking that Iran has been in on it from the beginning. Yeah. That Soleimani execution was fake. You remember that when they found his ring on the road, and the only way they can identify him was his hand that was on the road and had his ring on it.
Was that and, the last year?
Yeah, Soleimani happened.
Oh, that's the one that Trump took out,
Trump took him out.
Right.
And,
right.
And remember in Tehran, they were marching. They were doing a parade for Soleimani, and they all had that great big picture, the big portrait of. So it reminded me of Sandy Hook. Remember when all the parents were carrying the portrait of the children? It's like these Iranians are pulling the same stunt that the Sandy Hook parents were doing.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That's standard operating procedure. I think the government, like most my Iranian friend, he hates the government there. And I think most people do. But I think that's the government that the U.S. wants installed there. That's why they've been there so long. So there's even like most people hate any government that lasts more than a few years, even if it's so-called elected. And usually they just switch them out as soon as the people get restless and put a new face in there. And then they just play the switch game over and over again in Western countries, and that's enough to satisfy the people that something's changed when nothing does change. But it seems like in Iran, they don't even bother. They just leave these theocracies in place, and they get really long in the tooth, and the people get really mad. But yeah, you have to believe that they're all part of the charade.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
And then they did that. So just shortly after the Soleimani execution or assassination, they had that plane that was shot down behind in Iran. And it was like a misfire because they had stormed the Iraqi embassy, and like 200 people were aboard. And that airplane crash was fake. I mean, it was covered on 153 News, and you're going through the wreckage of that airplane crash, and it was there was no bodies there. And
I remember that.
And so I was thinking, so see, that's one of the chinks in the armor, because you know there's been a fakery all throughout the Middle East for decades now, and it's like why would Iran fake an airplane crash? And it's just like right now, why would Gaza fake, you know, their city being blown up? Because that's what they do. They blow up old buildings. I mean, that's what 9/11 was. I mean, that's what Aleppo was. We were told that Aleppo was bombed to the ground. It's like, no, it's not. You go to Aleppo right now, it's like they're having festivals and everybody's happy because they got a brand new city. That's why. Right. And, it's like just because you see buildings bombed out doesn't mean anybody's dead. It doesn't mean it means that they're just doing their old controlled demolition again that they've been doing for a long time, even before 9/11.
Well, it's business. Even Afghanistan, they would rebuild the whole area and then just blow it up again over and over again. And that's, I guess, how some of the companies like Halliburton, that's how they made money. They'd blow it up and then they rebuild it and then they blow it up again. Yeah. It just went over and over again. Yeah. It's a big business.
And, I think the London Blitz was a controlled demolition. And yes, I think King David Hotel in 1946 Israel, I think that was a controlled demolition. I think they've been doing controlled demolition, I mean, for many decades, long time.
In your research, like, there's a couple things missing for me in this whole Israel-Gaza thing. Number one, there is no official Palestinian spokesperson anymore. There's no face of the Palestinians. There's no leader. So they're literally, they're so lazy. I guess they feel that they don't even need to put a face, an opposition face. They just don't even have a guy that we can, that can speak out, say, against the Israelis in this case. They just leave it sort of a headless horseman, which I find amazing.
Yeah. And and instead they're giving out all these little Instagram videos that are showing all these atrocities. I mean, if these videos were real, I mean, there would be such an outcry from the world stage saying this has got to stop. You know, these are war crimes. What these Instagram videos are showing is war crimes, but nobody will ever be charged. I mean, it's just like during that Syria war, it lasted 8 years. I remember Assad was doing all these war crimes. He was dropping incendiary bombs on schools. He was using chemical weapons in residential neighborhoods. And every night we'd get bombarded by another war crime that Assad was doing. And here it is after the war, and Assad is still prime minister of Syria. Nothing ever happened to him. Nobody was ever charged with a war crime because it didn't happen. Because it was all theater. It was all Hollywood the entire time.
Yeah, I think there was a video that you put up or Jim put up. I put it on FakoTube. Some guy was calling this out a long time ago.
Yeah, Robert Stewart, he called it out in 2014.
Yeah, and that's right.
He called out that incendiary bomb attack in Syria.
Right.
And they had the same stuff that's going on in Gaza right now is the same thing that was going on in Syria 8 years ago. Same thing. We are looking at Syria 2.0 right now in Gaza. And so I don't know what happened to this Robert Stewart guy, but he stopped chasing the ball. He made this one lecture and he just kind of laid it there.
Yeah, I think he was threatened or something.
He was probably threatened, or he threatened to lose his job. And so he's, See, it takes people like me and you, people. I don't fear any. Nobody's going to fire me. I mean, you know, what I've got nothing to lose. And so it takes people like you and me, who got nothing to lose, to pick up this ball and run with it. Because yeah. It's like, you know,
well, I do. Yeah, I have stuff to lose. So I'm not quite as open as you are, but I mean,
well, I have shorter to fall. I mean, you know, I'm not that far up. And so, you know, if they took everything I owned, I'd only fall this far, you know. So well, that's true. And that frees me up, and that makes it to where I could poke the bear, you know. I could poke it as much as I want. I don't care if they take everything I own, you know.
Well, that's good. No, that's good. I'm just trying to find one of my guys on my forum, Zyle Flex. He was explaining what may have happened to that Robert. Was his name Robert Stewart?
Yeah, Robert Stewart.
He's done a lot of stuff on that. I think he, for some reason, he exited the stage just because. The other thing I wanted to bring up while I'm looking for it is, are you finding any evidence of the so-called hostages? Because that whole story is not really being promoted, or is just sort of left to fall away as well. Is that being promoted where you're looking?
Yeah, you know, I'm mostly covering the Palestinian side because I'm just so shocked to see that the Palestinians are participating in this hoax. Mm-hmm. But I did see the two hostages that were released, and they were shaking hands with their captors, and they were all friendly, and they said that the Hamas treated them well while they were over there in Gaza, and it's just more fakery. And that goes along with that grandmother that was kidnapped in the golf cart. I remember she was smiling as they were kidnapping her, and then at the end she does a selfie with her captors, and she's given the peace sign, giving a selfie with her captors. And so this hostage situation doesn't make sense at all. All the hostages seem to be just too happy. And so, you know, just like everything else with this Gaza thing, nothing makes sense.
Well, apparently the tunnels are where they're hiding all the hostages. Here we go again with the tunnel thing that I was questioning.
Yeah. Well, you know, if I was held in a tunnel for, I don't know how long those ladies were held. I think maybe 10 days or so. 10 days is a long time to be in a tunnel. Yeah. I would be pissed off. It's like, well,
they say there's whole control and command centers in the tunnels run by Hamas.
Again, yeah, I just don't believe it.
No, of course. It reminds me of the Osama bin Laden mountain system.
Yeah, I remember when Saddam Hussein was living inside that hole, and they gave us a diagram, and it showed like an air pipe coming down to where Saddam Hussein was laying down. It's like, so Saddam Hussein was laying in this hole for 4 months with an air pipe coming down to feed him oxygen.
Where was the feeding tube for the food?
Yeah. That was the most funniest thing I've ever seen.
The best one was the Osama bat cave, though. Did you see that diagram?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was
amazing.
It was a multi-level cave where Osama bin Laden was the headquarters.
The only thing he missing was Alfred the Butler. I mean, we grew up on Batman in the Batcave. That Batcave was awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, the flame would come out the back of the Batmobile. That was just so, it looked so real.
I like the cave with all the computers and the bat pole. These guys that do these psyops, they watched all those shows too. This is where they get their ideas. Come on.
Well, yeah, they got a little bit more morbid of a imagination.
Like, yeah,
when I see these rubber babies in Gaza, I'm thinking it's from the same mind as the guy who thought of the jumpers on 9/11. I mean, you know, they added that jumper section of that psyop to just traumatize us.
Yeah.
So we have to have jumpers because it'll just traumatize the world, and it'll convince everyone that every single person on Earth saw somebody die that day. We didn't see anyone die that day. We just saw something on television. A television show is what we saw.
That's right. And even the people in New York, they went back to watch it on TV because you really couldn't see anything because you couldn't get near the area. Yeah, and if you were standing around, if you know anything about downtowns, you can't see past the building right beside you if it's more than two stories tall. So you got to go back home. You may as well watch Peter Jennings and Aaron Brown and all these fakers give you the live shot from the helicopter. You're not, even if you're right down there, you're not going to stand there.
Yeah, you know, and so we're all these lessons we learned from 9/11, we're applying to this, you know, what's happening in the Middle East. And it's, we need to use our entire body of knowledge and break this down. And when they hold those rubber babies up in the air,
yeah,
they're like holding one of those 9/11 jumpers up in the air. It's like, you're convinced that I've seen dead children. I've had people in my comment section say, Phil, I've seen the dead children. I said, show me the videos that you've seen, because I'm posting dozens of videos of dead children. I mean, do your videos look like these? Because we need to have a discussion about this, because this does not look real to me. I would say, and then they go, well, Phil, nothing ever looks real to you. You know, well,
that's right. Nothing really is real around us. I'm still trying to figure out the hockey guy with the blade in the neck story. That's another one.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble with that one because that's another strange one.
Yeah, that was a whopper up there in Canada, right? That was
No, it was in Britain.
Oh, it was in Britain?
Yeah, who knew they played hockey over in, I think it was Manchester. It was an exhibition.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
There's some UK league. I don't know. They got right on that. And then it was a black guy and a white hockey player. So there's a lot of that. You know, I figure once you cut your carotid artery, I'm surprised you could even get back up. I mean, once that's cut, it's the blood pressure just drops probably instantly. No.
Yeah. People don't know what a severed artery looks like. And people, I know they're just messing with us.
Well, you got 4 liters of blood in you, and your heart is a pretty effective pump. So I don't know. 4 liters of blood probably would come out awful fast. I mean, there's not much you can do. If your artery blows in your neck or your aorta, I'm pretty sure you're gone instantly. I don't think you have a chance, right?
Yeah, and so it reminded me of Damar Hamlin when he pulled that stunt and on Monday Night Football. It's like I could tell right when it happened that he landed on his butt. He did not collapse. You know, when a person faints, they do a face plant into the ground. You know, it was so fake.
And what about Aaron Rodgers with his Achilles? Didn't he make a miraculous recovery? Isn't he walking around again already?
Yeah, you know, on the third play of the season, and then they showed him a little picture from his hospital bed, and he's not connected to any IV drip or any saline solution. And they said that he had just come out of surgery. It's like, well, if he just came out of surgery, they'd be worried about some kind of infection, and he would be connected to an IV drip. And he's just all smiles, like he's not on any medication at all. And so, yeah, that picture, they're pulling a lot of stunts in this NFL and all these sports leagues. Just it's all
theater.
Yeah, it's
all theater. What a phony life. What a phony world we're living in, huh? It's just a simulation.
And it's a phony world, but they've with a macabre, some kind of a sin or like some kind of Halloween style macabre nature to it. These people have they can get away with these big whoppers because it's just so people just refuse to believe that they would lie this way. They wouldn't use fake blood and rubber babies. It's like they wouldn't lie that way. It's like, no, I think that's exactly how they're lying. And
is there anyone else explaining things like you and I that you found besides you and Jim? Is there anyone else, or is everyone?
Jason Boss to be on. I mean, Jason Boss is the one who taught me how to recognize crisis actors. And he's over there saying that this, I mean, because we all know the Gaza's being bombed. It's like, Jason, how could you say that? It's like, you don't know what's being bombed. You don't know anything that's coming out of Gaza. You know nothing. It's like, don't. And And Jason Boss doesn't even have all the crisis actors that I found. I mean, he found that one. It's like, good for him, but it's like, come on, dude. I found like dozens others. And, you know, it's, but see, Jason Boss.
Does he even allow the discussion on his?
I don't think so. And, wow. Everybody that's covering the Israeli war is covering it as if Israel is faking it. And yes, I know that Israel's faking it. But what's shocking is that the Palestine is faking it too. And see, that brings a whole different picture to the what we're looking at here. And I mean, proving that the Jews are lying is like proving that water is wet. I mean, it's like that's easy. You know, that's why I haven't even been doing it. Is I've been focusing on the Palestinian side, because it's like this, we got to figure out why these people are doing it, you know, because that means we're looking at a business. This is not a war. This is a business we're looking at.
I only see one Gaza thing here on 153news.net on the homepage.
And yeah, that's that girl from Britain. I'm
Jenna. What's she saying?
Oh, just the people in Gaza are being bombed, and it's real. She's a crisis actor.
So she's just promoting the official story.
And she speaks with a heavy British accent. And so, you know, I already posted a Palestinian crisis actor that speaks with a American accent. Kind of sounds like she's from Southern California.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, they're producing this movie from all over the place. I would say all over the world. Yeah, not a lot of doubt. You should try and upload one of your videos to 153news.net, see what happens.
Yeah, you know, I asked Jason Boss a couple times, and he said he'd get back to me, and he never did. And so whatever. I think, and now I don't think he would, because me and Sidethorn had words. But not that we had words. You know, I mean, trust me, I've had harsher words with a lot of other people.
What's his name? Jim Fetzer is, I guess, fully on board this being a big slaughter.
Yeah, you know, I know Fetzer. You know, I'll always have a place in my heart for Fetzer, because he showed me how Las Vegas was fake. But then he just abandoned me. Then he said that all these other events are real. It's like, wait a minute. Once you cross through the threshold of knowing how they did Las Vegas, well, then all the dominoes start to fall. You see how they do all of the events. And
he was kind of tied up with the Sandy Hook thing. I never could understand that he was being attacked, or the Posner guy came after him. It never was really clear to me what was happening in that situation. Did you ever follow up on that?
Well, yeah, he would give an update every once in a while on his show, and he was asking for money for donations so that he could fight Lenny Posner. And but, you know, after like 10 years after the Sandy Hook event, you know, it's like, well, sorry, my wallet's dry to give you any more donations for that, because nothing's ever going to happen. It's been 10 years since the event and nothing's going to happen. I mean,
wasn't Lenny coming after him, though, or suing him? And he was in Madison Court, Madison, Wisconsin.
Something. I think Fetzer was just trying to prove that. He was attacking the death certificate of Lenny Posner had offered a death certificate that was an obvious forgery. That's what how Jim Fetzer said.
Oh, I see.
And so he was going after the validity of the death certificate, and it's like, well, it's just going to be more head bashing against the wall, because the courts are totally on Posner's side, and.
Yeah, Posner versus Fetzer, 2021. So this is on casetext.com. I don't know if this is a real site, but so something happened. It was never really made clear what the hell happened. Oh, wait, here it is here. Okay. So Fetzer had to pay $500,000?
Yeah. Yeah, it appears so. But, you know, but Fetzer's doing a daily show. He didn't seem to skip a beat, just like Alex Jones when he was fined, what was it, almost $1 billion. Well, Alex Jones is still doing his daily show. He didn't skip a beat, you know. I'm thinking Fetzer's trial was probably just a show trial, just like Alex Jones.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. This is, you know, just when you think they're on our side and then they do stuff like this and they basically leave us hanging in the wind. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, they leave it to us to go the rest of the way. And so, you know, it just depends on how much we want to poke the bear. Because most people aren't comfortable with poking the bear. But you see, I like to poke the bear a lot. And that's why, you know, I'm not going out there on a limb and I'm saying that the Palestinians are using rubber babies. I mean, you can't go farther out on a limb than that. You know how many people I pissed off by saying that? It's like, how dare you say the Palestinians are using rubber babies? It's like, no. Take a look at all the videos they're showing us. It's impossible that those are real babies. It's impossible. And also on some of them, you can clearly see it's a rubber baby.
Yeah.
Like the one that was given the CPR. It's like,
that was crazy.
So if they use one rubber baby, then they're using them all. And so all I have to prove is just one rubber baby is being used. And then all the babies come into question.
I agree. Well, keep up the good work. We've been going for about an hour and a half.
Thanks for having me on.
No, this is good. I appreciate it. You do a lot of stuff here. I think you're on the right track. I mean, I like to just throw my support behind you because I don't think you have much support. I still think Jim is sort of on board, but he sort of seems to go back and forth. But I don't see any evidence that any real people are getting any of this is really happening. And well, that was the other thing that I heard this week. They said that I think Mike Adams of Natural News, the health ranger, he was going on saying if the Israelis had 13 9/11s, then the Palestinians would have had 330 based on their death count. So bringing up the 9/11 idea into this.
Yeah.
So all these guys are promoting it as if people are being slaughtered.
Yeah. Well, I think Mike Adams would probably say that real people died on 9/11. And so under his definition, then the Palestinians are having 9/11 because they're bringing out the mannequin jumpers just like on 9/11. And I know Mike Adams, he's Alex Jones tier. And so he's not going to take you.
I guess he can't. Do you think they can't say it? Do you think that, you know, there's a guardrail for every one of these guys that are highly promoted?
Yeah. Yeah, Fetzer has a wider guardrail and that he's able to talk about kind of fake shootings from time to time, but he doesn't talk about all of them. Yeah, and he doesn't talk about all the fake bombings. But he talks about some. And so
it seems like every time there's a shooting, it always is a possibility that it's real for these guys. It always starts off as real. So I take the opposite of approach. So I guess that's how they handle it, where I say everything is staged and an event until proven real, where he always says, oh, here's a new one. Oh, let's check this one out. This one looks like it could be real, guys. But there's no logic to that. And he's a professor of philosophy, logic, whatever. So he's sort of, I don't know.
Yeah.
These guys are too much.
Well, we just keep trudging along with what we've been taught. And start breaking up these events.
All right, Phil. So we'll watch you on Jim on Friday.
Yeah,
and
he'll be on. He still hasn't kicked me off. So you know he still seems like he likes to talk about this stuff.
No, it's good. I don't see a lot of opposition in the comments. Really, I mean,
yeah, just a few guys, but yeah, a lot of the guys are on board with it. Yeah.
Well, good. And you got how many 1278 subscribers and probably a lot more people just looking in at your channel. So keep it up and we'll keep talking.
Yeah. We'll try to do it next Wednesday.
Yeah. Perfect. Thanks, Phil. Yeah. Have a good night.
You too, Tim.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye. All right, bye. There goes Phil. Fake Nukes Phil. Watch his channel. He's going to come back next Wednesday. We'll talk about the same thing. I like Fake Nukes Phil. About the only guy talking about this Israeli Gaza thing as it should be told. Just the evidence we're given just isn't convincing. We can't explain exactly what's happening, or at least I can't. But what they're telling us doesn't make any sense. We had no caller inners tonight, so that's fine. Next week, if you want to call in, talk to Fake Nukes Phil, give him a call. He'll probably be back next Wednesday, as long as everything goes okay with my schedule. Otherwise, tomorrow we've got Frank the Salt Guy. You should read one letter real quick. I found the email. I didn't put it in the right bin. It says, Dear Ab, I get notifications from Tim Osman in my inbox. I listen today to the 5th of November interview with you and him. This is because I keep a close eye on your website. I then saw his notification in my inbox and wondered why I didn't get them from you. Okay, well, I signed her up. I'm a grandmother from England and a fakeologist. You are so right. It gives me so much peace of mind. Makes me feel like a wise guru when I'm on the bus going into town, listening to people talking about the news and spreading fear. Someone on your audio recently said you have to ask God for wisdom and discernment. It doesn't come automatically with age. So very true. Every day I humbly ask. From Christine in the Midlands, England. And she's also a saltologist. Tell Frank. Thank you, Christine. And yeah, it was probably Frank that said, ask God for wisdom and discernment. So we're glad to help. And we don't have all the answers here. We just have the questions. And it's obvious that we're being fed a line of bull most of the time. And till proven otherwise, we are going to reserve judgment and remain skeptics. And it's the healthiest way to be. And life isn't so bad, and I'm not worried. I don't think things are going to hell in a handbasket. I just think these guys like to scare the hell out of us. Every day is like Halloween to them, and we're not buying it. At least I'm not buying it. Anyway, if you like the show, fakeologist.com/donate, and we will see you tomorrow with Frank the Salt Guy. Take care. Have a good night.